Welcome to the Q Convos podcast.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Q Convos podcast with the Initiative for Equal Rights. My name is Fidelia, and today I'll be talking with Fisayo about the violations that queer women face in Nigeria, levels of reporting and justice for such violations, and the existing structures of support for queer women facing abuse or the lack thereof. Thank you for joining me today, Fisayo. Can you introduce yourself briefly?
Oh, okay. My name is Fisayo Oyemi. I am a gender advocate, and my passion include advocating for justice, human rights, and, feminism, of course. I'm currently the director of programs at Women's Health and Equal Rights Initiative.
Okay.
Women's Health and Equal Rights Initiative is a lesbian-led organization that is focused on promoting the rights, health, and well-being of lesbian, bisexual, and queer women in Nigeria.
Awesome.
Okay.
From your experience in working in that space, in where as director of programs in an organization that caters to queer women, what are some common forms of violations or threats to security that queer women face?
Queer women in Nigeria face different kinds of violations based on their gender and also their sexual orientation.
Yeah.
So actually, I've dealt with in cases where women have experienced blackmail, extortion, curative rape, or rape, like, I don't like calling it curative rape because you're not correcting anything. Rape, extortion by non-governmental people, or you say non-state actors and also the state actors.
Yeah.
Intimate partner violence is also very high. And also domestic abuse, be it come from probably the queer women's family, people around them, just as a result of their sexual orientation. These are some of the cases that I've actually worked on.
Okay.
Among others.
I know that generally women find it difficult to report abuse or violence because there's the fear of victim blaming or being sent back to their abusers. How does being queer further complicate this for queer women? Is underreporting even worse among queer women than generally cisgender women or heterosexual women?
Yeah, like I previously mentioned, I said that queer women in Nigeria suffer violations as a result of their gender and also their sexual orientation. So for queer women, they are like they face double dose of discrimination. One as a result of their gender and the other one as the result of their sexual orientation. And looking at Nigeria, looking at the society, the religious and the traditional cultural factors, there are a lot of factors that are actually against queer women. So because of this, whenever they experience any kind of violation, they do not report it as a result of their sexual orientation. Because most times when they report these cases to probably law enforcement agencies, they do not focus on the violations that they have suffered.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on their sexual orientation. And because a lot of queer women in Nigeria already know this, they do not bother reporting. And aside from that, there is also the culture of silence among women generally, which is also, you know, heightened among queer women. So they do not actually talk about the violations they experience. And in most cases, when they talk about, they bring these cases to us or to me, it's always around, can we take this case further? Can we report these cases to the police? They'll be like, no, I don't want police to be involved because they already know what is going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, report and, you know, give me psychosocial support. I want to, you know, be offered psychosocial support. That's all. And they never push it any further.
Right. So they don't want to take the extra step to probably get justice.
No. Because they are already, you know, scared about being prosecuted or persecuted by state actors and non-state actors.
That's terrible. When organizations that exist say that they support violence, domestic violence survivors, or they support women going through gender-based violence, do they really mean all women, including women who are like lesbian, bisexual, queer, or transgender?
From the list of organizations that I've worked with, a lot of them have, you know, started to be inclusive of queer women.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they are starting to understand that how do you claim you're a feminist when your feminism is more inclusive?
Yeah.
How do you provide support? You say you provide support. This is a woman-led organization, but you are still excluding queer women. I would say quite a number of them have actually started, you know, including queer women in the services that they are providing for women who have experienced domestic violence or any kind of gender-based violence that they have, you know, experienced. However, there is a particular organization that I think I reported. I reported a case of a woman who was suffering domestic violence.
Yeah.
And when they later, you know, heard that the person is actually a queer woman, and because it involved other things, that other services that I could not, or my organization could not offer the person, so I had to refer to the woman to another organization. When, you know, given a brief background and what the whole case is all about.
Yeah.
And when they found that, the organization found that it was a queer woman, they did not actually proceed with the case. They kind of like dragged their feet, and I got the message that it's not something they were willing to take.
They were not willing to take it.
So I had to find another organization and refer. And so to your question, some organizations, some women organizations, are working with queer women, providing services to queer women.
Yeah.
And some are not, simply because in Nigeria, is a kind of where a lot of people practice feminism in Nigeria. They are not practicing
inclusive feminism.
They do not include queer women. They do not include trans women. So, I'm happy about how things are. Women-led organizations are becoming more inclusive and understanding that.
Okay.
You cannot say you are a feminist while your feminism is not inclusive. And you cannot say you program and provide services and support to women that are not inclusive of queer women.
So there's some progress, and hopefully more progress will be made.
Yes, there is progress.
Okay, that's amazing to know.
There is progress.
Okay. Can queer women, I mean, I feel like we've talked about this before already, but can queer women report abusive or violent situations to the police in Nigeria and expect any kind of action or justice?
I would say, well, if they probably have, let's say, backing of an organization, but quite a number of queer women who I know have, you know, have been victims of violations are finding a hard time doing that, because most times they will not, the police, the law enforcement agency will not focus on the violation. They will focus on the sexual orientation of the victim, which isn't supposed to be so. There was a case that I handled about two women who were assaulted in their school, and by a man who was asking one of them out. And then they went to the police to do a report, and the man was actually invited for interview with the police, interrogation rather. And on getting there, the man was like, it was because they are actually lesbian women. That's why they are not answering to his advances.
Wow.
So while that was going on, the police actually detained these two women and forced them to write and sign an undertaking that they will not see each other again and not
be
lesbian. So these two women had to, you know, relocate temporarily from the area just, you know, for their own safety. And also, so these and many more are the reasons why a lot of queer women do not report whatever violations they experience to law enforcement. They feel that the focus, which is supposed to be the violation they have suffered, will not be. The focus will be placed on their sexuality.
And they can end up even getting arrested or assaulted.
Yes, extorted.
What do you think needs to change generally to ensure safety for queer women in Nigeria? What needs to happen now?
I think awareness is very important, and education, because quite a number of law enforcement agencies in Nigeria do not even understand the law. I mean, a lot of them talk about SMP, but they do not even understand what the SMP says.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, they don't even understand that there's certain things you have to, you know, you have to consider the victim first before anything. And I believe that the change is going to come, but it has to be with a lot of rigorous education and awareness creation, which is around, you know, creating awareness for the law enforcement agency. And also public education is very, very important. This is one of the ways in which we can, like, sexual orientation is not a thing to focus on. Focus on a victim suffering injustice, which is what I think.
Well,
I think looking at queer women, it is also important for us to pull everyone along, because we cannot, like I said, we cannot say we are programming for women, we are pushing for gender equality, we are pushing that. women should be in decision-making spaces, why we are actually leaving queer women behind.
Yeah.
So it is important to make sure that everyone is carried around regardless of their sexual orientation, their gender identity, expression, and even the sex characteristics, which is very important.
Thank you so much, Fisayo. Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode of Q Convos. If you or anybody you know is experiencing violence as a result of their sexual orientation, gender identity and or expression or sex characteristics, please reach out to the Initiative for Equal Rights by visiting theinitiativeforequalrights.org or via our social media handles at Tears Nigeria. That's T-I-E-R-S Nigeria. Until the next episode, this is Q Convos by the Initiative for Equal Rights, and my name is Fidelia. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Q Convos podcast, brought to you by the Initiative for Equal Rights, produced by 808 Extra. Kindly visit www.theinitiativeforequalrights.org to learn more.